This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for another Sunday service here at the Shiloh Baptist Church. We welcome you to worship on this Sunday, August 28th, 2011. Yes, this is the Sunday that Hurricane Irene came through, but how many of you know that you're still standing? And we bless God for His grace, His mercy, and His compassion. We certainly pray for those who have gone through the storm, still going through the storm, all along the eastern seaboard. We have had millions of people affected, but we thank God again for His grace, His mercy, and His compassion. So we welcome you to the Shiloh Baptist Church, and we are going to have worship nonetheless. The Bible says, where there are two or three gathered in My name, that He will be in our presence and in our midst. And like I've done before, we are having church with just Pastor Armstrong and Trustee Wayne Teal up in the AV room. So God bless Brother Wayne. God bless you and your family. And I want you to prepare for a worship experience over the course of this next hour. As we do everything in the Lord by prayer, let us open up with a word of prayer. Won't you pray with me? God of grace and God of mercy, we come before You right now in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We realize that this is the day that You have made, and yes, we rejoice and we are glad in it. Thank You, God, for bringing us through the storm. We did not know what to expect, but we knew the God of the storm. And we ask right now that You would be present with us, even in this sanctuary, even through these airwaves, even through our brothers and our sisters who are at home in the safe and comfort of their living rooms and the shelter of their homes. We ask now that You would rain down a blessing in the name of Jesus. Bless us through word. Bless us through song and bless us through prayer. We love You and we bless You, God. And we claim victory in the name of Jesus, our Christ and our Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you and God keep you is our prayer. Again, we're going to move now into our time of worship. We have suspended our normal worship services, our 8 and our 11 services, but we wanted to have a time of proclamation nonetheless. And so again, Brother Wayne Teal, Trustee Wayne Teal, and I are the only two people here, but we know that there is a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and we are going to have church on this day. Before I move further into the service, I do want to make a few announcements about a couple of things that are coming up. September is a very, very busy month. It is the beginning of the academic school year for our children and our young people going back to school. And so we want to wish you and yours a very happy and safe back to school experience. In that vein, we're going to hold our annual back to school fast on next Tuesday, the 6th of September, the day after Labor Day. We look forward to a great time of fasting and praying. We believe that this kind of demon, this kind of spirit only comes out through prayer and fasting. So we pray four times a year here at Shiloh Baptist Church. And September is one of our fasting times, and it is known as our back to school fast, to pray for boards of education, superintendents, you name it, the teachers, the principals, the counselors, the janitors, the parents, and obviously our students. So let's pray for them next Tuesday from sunup to sunup the next day, Wednesday the 7th. And starting on Wednesday the 7th and the 8th, we're going to have a back-to-school tent revival, an old-fashioned tent revival we're going to set up in our parking lot, and we're going to invite the community to come and pray in this school year. We're going to sing songs of Zion. We're going to pray God, and we're going to have a great time of welcoming our students and our parents back to school. Thirdly, I want to announce a series of very important meetings. We're getting ready for our third quarterly church meeting, which will take place on Saturday, September the 10th. Saturday the 10th of September at 8 a.m. here in our lower auditorium. Leading up to that are a series of meetings that we want to invite and prepare our leadership and membership for. Number one, on this Wednesday, August the 20, August the 31st, at 7 p.m., I am calling all of our executive committee members to meet with me here at the church at 7 p.m., August 31st, this coming Wednesday. And then on next Tuesday, I'm inviting all of the church council, to come together for a budget preparation meeting. That's going to take place from 5:30 to 7 p.m. here at the church. Deaconess Linda DeCausey and Minister E. Diane Holloway and Reverend Morella Holmes will coordinate that meeting, and I'm asking all church leaders of sub-ministries to participate in that church council meeting. And then at 7 p.m., I'm going to meet with the joint board to get us ready for the fourth quarter of the year and our third quarterly church meeting on September the 10th. So very important meetings, church council, executive committee meeting this Wednesday, church council meeting next Tuesday at 5:30, and then joint board meeting next Tuesday, the 6th of September at 7 p.m., and then our church meeting next Saturday at the 10th of September at 8 a.m. All right, I believe those are the primary dates we want to share with you. I do want to thank the Reverends, the Reverend William Coleman and Minister Dr. E. Diane Holloway for being a blessing to our congregation on last Sunday. During my time away, I invite sons and daughters of our church, and Reverend Coleman and Minister Holloway are both sons and daughters of Shiloh, and they blessed us mightily, as I know and understand and have witnessed from our video. So God bless you, Reverend Coleman. God bless you, Minister Holloway, and we look forward to continuing to lift up the name of the Lord in this place. Lastly, I want to thank, in absentia, the Reverend Archie Glenn McBride, pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church in Bordentown, and our own Reverend Cecilia Gopher DeWoe, who would have preached today had we not canceled our worship services because of Hurricane Irene. But they are fine, their families are fine, and we will get them back to preach here at Shiloh in the near future, right? So God bless you and God keep you. Those are all of our announcements. Please govern yourselves accordingly. And one last one. We are excited on September the 11th about Super Senior Sunday here at the Shiloh Baptist Church. I am happy having our super senior singers sing on Super Senior Sunday, which again is the 11th, the second Sunday of September, normally Youth Sunday, but we flipped the script. We're going to have our seniors lead worship. We're going to have them take leadership in all aspects of our services, and we're going to unveil our new super senior singers choir, which I'm excited about. So Betty and our Liturgy, Praise, and Worship ministry have been working overtime with our seniors of Shiloh. We want to honor our young people, and we want to honor our elders, for we know that in blessing our children and our seniors and our elders, we are in line with what God would have us to do. All right? So God bless you and God keep you. Those are all of our announcements. I want to invite you now to get ready for our altar prayer. Every Sunday, we pray for those who have gone through, going through, or who have been through. And so I'm going to read off a list of names and ask that our God, who sits high but looks low, will indeed hear our prayers and answer our cries. The Bible says, approach the throne of grace boldly, that you may find help in your time of need. I believe that you, sitting at home, listening to this sermon, watching this video, that whatever your need is, the Bible says, there's nothing too hard that God, for God, and that God cannot work out. So I'm remembering this day, many on our prayer list. I want you to pray for the family of Janice Oliver, widower of the late Deacon Nathaniel Oliver. The funeral was held last Friday. Pray for the Oliver family. I also ask that you would remember these names on our memorial board. We want to remember the late Trustee John W. Reed, Jr., September 1st, 2001. Anna R. Richardson, September 2nd, 1922. Deacon Irvin Christie, September 2nd, 2003. And the late Deaconess Savannah Pfizer, September 3rd, 2010. These are names that we keep on our prayer list and are on our memorial board, and those families have honored their loved ones by purchasing a plaque and reminding them of their loved ones' contributions to the greater kingdom of God in this way. We also want to remember those who are living memorials. Jane B. Robinson, whose birthday was September 3rd, and Marna S. Connor, whose birthday was also September 3rd. So as we end the summer, get ready for the academic year, Labor Day just a week away, we know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever could ask, imagine, or think. So let's go before the Lord right now, lay our concerns at the foot of the throne of grace, and ask God to hear our prayers and answer our cries. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come again in the name of Jesus, listening to the words of this song, that we never could have made it had it not been for you on our side. So right now, dear God, we ask that you would hear our prayers and that you would answer our cries. Yes, the storm has blown over, and you have kept us safe through another storm. This storm had a name, Hurricane Irene. But there have been other storms in our life, oh God. Other storms that have gone by other names. But yet, through it all, we've learned to trust in Jesus, and we've learned to trust in God. And yes, God, there will be other storms that shall come our way. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would hear the prayers of the righteous and those who are interceding on behalf of other folk. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, somebody didn't make it through the storm, and yet we're not going to blame you. We're still going to bless your name through the midst of all of our trial, through the midst of all of our travail, and through the midst of all of our tribulation. You are the God of the storm. You are Lord over the storm. And I ask right now that you attend to every need of every person, every family that have gone through this storm. Lord, we know that you're a way maker. We know that you are a burden bearer. We know that you are a heavy load sharer. And so these names we have lifted up here today, hear our prayers and answer our cries on their behalf. Oh Lord, for the churches around our great city, hear our prayers and answer our cries. For mothers and fathers and children, God, hear our prayers and answer our cries. For those who are bereaved and gone through death, burial, and benediction, hear our prayers and answer our cries. For the sick and the shut and the imprisoned and the infirm, hear our prayers and answer our cries. We know that you can do everything but fail, O God. And so this day we lift up a banner of praise, claiming victory right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, that we can have church even on a Sunday in the midst of a storm, after the storm, even before a storm. Because we here, God, have learned how to praise our way through a storm. And we know, God, that not every day is a storm. But for the storms that blow in our lives, your word tells us that if we keep ourselves anchored in you and in your word, that you will plant us by the rivers of water and we shall not be moved. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Shiloh Baptist Church, the members hereof. Bless our family and our friends, but not just members of this church. Bless the saints of the great city of Zion. And everybody who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus. For we know, God, that the Bible tells us that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is your servant's prayer. I ask it in the name of the one I call Jesus, our Christ. That every blood-bought saint, everybody who loves the Lord and knows that everything works together for the good of for those who are the called of God and love the Lord Jesus. This is our prayer. In Jesus' sweet name we pray it, that all of God's children say together, amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God a praise offering in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. God keep you. God keep you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Well, let's get ready for the reading of God's word. I'm going to invite you to pause wherever you are. I invite you to stand to your feet. I'm going to invite you to get your Bible out because we're going to break open the bread of life. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, that Old Testament minor prophetic book. And I want to read for you, starting in verse number 1 of chapter 1. I'll give you a moment to find your word, find your sword, find your Bible. Turn with me to the minor prophetic book of Jonah in the Old Testament. And I want to begin reading in verse chapter 1, verse number 1. Amen. Say amen when you've located the text. God bless you and God keep you. Let us start reading in chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. Again, we want to direct your attention to the book of Jonah. In that first chapter, again, I would that you would pray with me on the title of this sermon, "There's a Blessing in the Storm." There's a blessing in the storm. Let us pray. Father, bless again your words, that your words would not return void. Help us to know that indeed, through the storms of life, that there is a blessing that you have already divinely ordained and entered in the midst of our storms. Bless now your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen and amen. God bless your saints. God keep you. With your word open, I would that you would pray with me on the fact that all of us go through our storms of life. A couple weeks ago, I preached about how to handle an earthquake. And on this Sunday, because of Hurricane Irene and because of the storm that all of us just recently came through, I am led by God the Holy Ghost to talk about storms. Talked about earthquakes before, but this week I want to talk about storms. It has often been said, and I ascribe to it partially, that we're either going into a storm, in the midst of a storm, or just coming out of a storm. And although I appreciate that text and understand, or appreciate that statement, understand that statement, my real statement is that not every day is a storm in our lives. But all of us know that even Jesus said, amen, that in this world we will have trials and tribulations. In other words, Jesus said, you're going to have some storms. But he also said, be of good cheer, for I have already overcome. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the trials and the tribulations. I've overcome the storms. And because he's overcome, guess what? You and I, too, can overcome. And so on this Sunday, I want to preach about storms. I've said already, not every day is a storm. God always gives some sunshine into our lives. It rains on the wicked, the just, and the unjust, but it also shines on the just and the unjust. And so life is not that pessimistic where every moment of our lives is a storm. But as I've said, we will have our storms, and how to handle earthquakes in our lives, how to handle storms, how to handle adversity, how to handle trauma, how to handle tragedy, how to handle tribulation, how to handle travail is the art of being a Christian. Not the science of being a Christian, but the art of being a Christian. Because we who are in Christ must understand, no matter what comes our way, good or bad, up or down, sunshine or storm, there's a way that we understand that God is always in the blessing business, through the good and the bad, there is a blessing in the storm. So using Jonah's story today, I want to talk about how in the midst of Jonah's adversity, we see a blessing in Jonah's storm. It was not readily perceptible when you, at the outset of the story, it is not readily understandable in the midst of the story. But by the end of the story, we understand how God is still in the blessing business. In point of fact, God will use some of our storms to get you and I where He wants us to be, to go where He wants us to go, to do what He wants us to do, and to say what He wants us to say. Yes, even God will send a storm into our lives or allow us to go through a storm so that we can get and have a closer understanding and relationship with Him. Come on, somebody. I know I'm preaching not to myself, but I need someone to agree with me in the Spirit of the Lord, because I believe that you and I, all of us, and there's a lesson in the storm and there's a blessing in the storm. And so I want you to get a pen and paper, write down these four words. I want you to write down the word predicament. I want to talk about Jonah's predicament today. Secondly, I want to talk about Jonah's prayer today. Thirdly, I want to talk about Jonah's proclamation today. And then fourthly and lastly, I want to do one last P word, and I want to talk about God's pronouncement today. Yes, after Jonah's predicament, after Jonah's prayer, after Jonah's proclamation, there was God's pronouncement. And if you look at each of these four chapters, I think you can find each of these four words encoded and embedded in the Word of God. Look at chapter number one. I've already read to you the first four verses of chapter number one. There is this man by the name of Jonah. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Arise and go to Nineveh, to that great city that God says, and cry out against it. But Jonah did not do what God called him to do. Now, let me just stop for a moment and say, whenever we are disobedient to God's word and God's instruction and God's direction, don't be surprised when you find yourself in a storm. Jonah's predicament arose because he was disobedient to the word that God gave him. And if I can just stop there, all of us, I believe, have a word from God. God is still in the speaking business. God is still in the instruction business. God is still in the direction business. Your direction may not be my direction. Your instruction may not be my instruction. But as sure as I'm standing here today, God has spoken something to you. I don't know what He spoke to you. Maybe He spoke that you need to leave that situation that you're in, leave it alone. Or maybe He has spoken, it's time for you to move off that job, and you thought I was punishing you when I gave you your pink slip, but really I was setting you up for a promotion, and you thought you were only being demoted, right? Whatever it is, God is speaking to us, and it is ours to listen to God and obey His word. I declare today that when we are disobedient and we disregard God's clear instruction, then we will find ourselves in a predicament. And that's exactly what happened here in the Word of God. The Bible says, because Jonah did not go to Nineveh like God instructed him to do, but instead he arose and went to Tarshish, which is not what God told him to do. The Bible says that the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest. Tempest is another word for storm, a severe weather predicament, right? That we just come through Hurricane Irene and all the way up the East Coast from the Outer Banks of North Carolina to the great shores of Martha's Vineyard on up into Maine and even further into Canada. Irene's wrath and her fury fell upon the eastern seaboard of these United States of America. I am not saying that if someone's life was lost in the storm that they deserve to die. I'm not saying that if someone's property was destroyed in the storm that they deserve to have their property destroyed. I am not saying if others severe results or adverse results because of the storm that somehow they deserved to go through that situation. But what I am saying is that from the word of God, Jonah was disobedient to God's word, and as a result, he found himself in a severe weather predicament called a tempest. And yes, we have just come through this storm. Maybe God used the storm to get somebody's attention. I don't know. God is God all by God's self. But what I am saying is that yes, this severe weather situation we called Hurricane Irene may have been a wake-up call for somebody to find themselves in a predicament. And in the midst of that predicament, we find ourselves reaching out to God. And so Jonah found himself fleeing from where God had told him to go. He got on a boat bound for Tarshish, and while he was on that ship, the Bible says the boat began to rock and the waves began to beat against the ship, and even the mariners that were on the ship began to approach their individual gods. And then they realized that Jonah was on the boat, and they found themselves in a predicament. Let me just pause for a moment. When we are in disobedience to God and find ourselves in a predicament, we can also contaminate the environment for other folk with whom we find ourselves, and they may be in a predicament too because of our predicament. Come on, somebody. If we are obedient to the word of God, we can be a blessing to those around us. But when we are disobedient to God's word, we can be a hindrance to those around us and cause others to fall into the same predicament that you and I find ourselves in because of our disobedience. And so yes, this notion of predicament because of disobedience is clearly outlined in the text. In point of fact, the Bible goes on to say later in chapter 1 that yes, they tossed Jonah overboard to get rid of their predicament. And Jonah found himself drowning in the sea of life. Come on, somebody. And God sent a great fish. Did not say a whale or what kind of fish. He simply says a great fish in verse number 15. And then the scripture says that the fish swallowed him up, and Jonah found himself in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Verse 17, chapter number 1, Jonah found himself in the belly of a great fish, right? We will find ourselves in places that are unfamiliar territory because of our disobedience that moved us into a predicament that caused us to fall into severity, that caused us to be into a foreign land, that caused us to be in places that are far away from God. And when we are in that place, God will cause us to give us some solitude to think about while you're in the predicament you're in. And that's exactly what happened to Jonah. So Jonah's predicament then turned into a prayer. Because I mean, you know, when we find ourselves in predicaments, what do we do? Our natural tendency is to pray. When things are going right, we may not need God. But when we find ourselves in predicaments, the first thing we do is reach out to God. I'm not saying that's a wrong thing. That's a right thing to do. Because when you are in a predicament, you better not try to rely on the preacher or the pastor or the deacon or the deaconess. You better not rely on mama or grandmama. You better rely on God. You better reach up to God and say, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so Jonah in chapter 2 finds himself praying to God.
And the Bible says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, verse number 1, his God from the fish's belly. He was in the belly, saints. Found himself deep in this predicament. Deep inside of his situation. And from the belly of that fish, Jonah lifted up a prayer. The Bible goes on to say, verse number 3, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, verse number 4, chapter 2, then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Verse number 6, I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever, yet you have brought up my life from the pit. Does anybody have a yet spirit in the midst of their predicament? Jonah acknowledges that he is in the predicament because of his situation, because of his disobedience, but he cries out unto the Lord and he says unto God, I believe in you, I call upon you, yet will I turn my face toward heaven, yet will I lift up my eyes to the hills, yet will I look again forward unto the God of my salvation, yet you have brought my life from the pit, yet you can reach way down, pick me up, turn me around, put my feet on solid ground, yet the Bible says Jonah realizes through his prayers that he needs to turn his face toward God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse number 14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Somebody's in a predicament right now. And God is calling you to prayer, to pray to Him, to reach your hands to Him. And yes, He doesn't just want you reaching out to Him in the midst when predicaments happen, but certainly in the midst of your predicament, who better to reach out to but to God? Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Let me rush on to my third point, because Jonah's predicament that led to prayer then culminated in a proclamation. If you look in chapter number 3, the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. But let me back up, right? Verse number 10, chapter number 2, the Bible says, in the midst of his prayer, after his prayer, the Bible says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited, spat Jonah up onto dry land. Yes, God is a way maker, and God is a burden bearer. God can rescue you out of your situation. The very same fish that he allowed to swallow you will be the very same fish to which he speaks that allows you to become free. Come on, somebody. The Bible says the fish spat Jonah up onto dry land. Didn't just spit him up, spat him up onto dry land. So now you understand that when the Lord gives you a second chance, come on somebody, how many of you know he's the God of not just a second chance or a third chance, he's the God of another chance. The Bible says that God gave Jonah a second chance. Chapter 3, verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you to preach. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh for whatever reason. Maybe Jonah did not want... See, contemporary theologians believe that the reason Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh is because Jonah did not want the Ninevites saved and to come to know the God that he has come to know. Maybe it was because of historical atrocities that happened that was perpetrated by the Ninevites onto the Israelites. I don't know the full reason. That would make some sense to me. But look at how selfish Jonah was. He didn't want somebody else to be blessed. And how many of you know that when you are blessed of God, you are not just blessed to get a blessing, but you are blessed to be a blessing. And even in the midst of your storms, there's a blessing. Kirk Franklin didn't just make up the song. There's a blessing in the storm, not just for you, but for somebody else. So God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. Tell them what I tell you to tell them. And as a result of Jonah's obedience now, and not his disobedience, through the rest of chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse number 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Isn't that an awesome thing that when somebody, because of you and your blessing and your situation and your obedience, that somebody comes to believe in God, that somebody comes to know that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Even enemies can believe in God. If you find yourself holding up the bloodstained banner, even your situations can change. And folk will say, how did you go from that to this? And you can say, there's a man by the name of Jesus. I believe in God. And if you believe in Him also, He will bless you, because the same God that blessed me is the same God that can bless you. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen in that situation? The Bible says in verse number 5, so the Ninevites believed in God. Not just any God, Jonah's God. He even goes on that the king of Nineveh proclaimed a word and said, cry mightily to God. It's right there in the Bible. Verse 5 and verse number 8 of chapter number 3. So Jonah's predicament turned into Jonah's prayer, which turned into Jonah's proclamation. And I believe today that there's somebody out there in a predicament who needed to hear this word today. I don't know why you've gone through your storms of life, but I believe if you stop where you are and humble yourself and seek God's face and talk to God and pray to Him, that God will not only bless you, but God will use you to be a blessing to somebody. Now the story doesn't end there. And there's this, how should I say, there's this ending that is quite peculiar in the text. Because after Jonah is sent to Nineveh to bless the people of God, and they believe now in God, in chapter number 4, we find Jonah in this strange situation. For it says at the beginning of chapter number 4, verse number 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry, and he prayed to God again, and he began to talk to God about why God would bless these people. Shame on Jonah. You were just delivered from your situation. God brought you out of your darkness into the marvelous light. God used you to be a blessing to somebody else. And now you are displeased because somebody else got blessed. Come on, somebody. God does not want that kind of spirit in His kingdom. And so God shows Jonah, He uses horticulture and his biological plant life around him to prove to Jonah a lesson. And the Bible says in the midst of chapter number 4, verse number 6, the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might shade for his head and deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But no sooner than God made the plant give Jonah shade, that God caused the plant's destruction through a worm. And now Jonah, who was upset with God, who was then thankful to God for the plant, is now upset with God again because the plant has been destroyed. Now look at what God says in verse number 10 of chapter number 4. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night, and should I not have pity upon the Ninevites in Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and their much livestock. In other words, what God was saying is, why would you have pity on a plant that you didn't make grow and get upset with me, the God of the universe, for having pity on my people who don't yet know they're my people? But I want everybody to be saved. And because I send you to be a blessing to them, they're my people. You don't have anything to say about it. You do what I tell you to do. You go where I tell you to go. You say what I tell you to say. And because of your obedience, somebody else will be blessed. In other words, God says, I'm God all by myself. You didn't make the universe. You cannot create the universe. You cannot deal with the universe. Only I can do that, and I have decreed and declared that I want everybody saved, and those who know me, I want you to go out and be a blessing to somebody. You see, you understand now that God says, I will take your predicament and bring you to a point of need where you realize you cannot do this by myself. By yourself. And God concludes by not only moving us to proclamation about him, but he makes a grand pronouncement that I am God, and above me there is no other. And I don't want you to focus on that which is down here. I want you to focus on me up here, up there. And so God reminds Jonah, it's my plant, they're my people, and I can do whatever I want to them and with them. They're not yours. I saved you, and you ought to be thankful for the blessing I gave you, because I could have killed you back then in Tarshish. I could have killed you on the boat. I could have killed you in the fish, but I saved your life. I redeemed your life. And just like Jesus hung on a cross. He was in the ground for 3 days, all night Friday night, all night Saturday night, but early Sunday morning he got up with all power in his hand. And because he lives, I can live. And because he lives, you can live. And because he lives, we can live. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. See, Jonah's story is a metaphor for Jesus. And because of Jesus's great triumph over the demonic forces of life, you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. And not only you and I, but whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, I don't care who you are, where you've been, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They don't own a story. He lets me know that there's a blessing in the storm, not only for me, but for somebody else, and that God will get the glory and God will get the praise. God bless you, saints. God keep you is my prayer. I pray that this word ministers in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, and in your soul. In the name of Jesus. If you are here today looking at this video, looking at this sermon, and you don't know the Lord God for yourself, listen to what Jonah's saying. Jonah's story is saying. Jonah's story is saying, even our enemies, God wants to save. God wants you blessed, and he wants those around you blessed. And if you, my beloved, would just surrender, God doesn't have to take us into a fish, into a predicament, to cause us to surrender. He will. But why make God do that today? God wants you saved. God wants you in the ark of safety. And all you have to do is stop where you are. Profess that God is God.
call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And Romans 10:9 says, and you will be saved. Stretch your hand out with me. Stretch your hand out with me and let us pray together. God, thank you for what we have heard, what we've seen, what we've experienced, and what we have felt. Through this proclamation, may your word not return void, but that somebody would be saved. Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing us through Hurricane Irene. But right now, someone is in another storm. Do for them what you did for Jonah. Prove to them that you are God. And if you have to chase them down, God, chase them down. If you have to deliver them out of the predicament, deliver them, I pray. That you would get the glory, and you, God, would the honor. In Jesus' name, this is our prayer. Holy Ghost, I plead that you would cover someone with your anointing. Cause their heart to turn. Cause them to turn to you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Let the church say amen. If you're viewing this video and you want to make a declaration of salvation, pray to God. Get on your knees right now. But also, if you want more information or you want to talk, call the church here at 609-695-5700. Again, 609-695-5700. God bless you and God keep you. And remember, there's a blessing in the storm.
I hope you've enjoyed this record. Oh, I hope this ministered to your heart and soul. Please continue to give us your prayers. And we'll be praying for your family too. I just got one more thing I want to do. If you're going to family.
When I cannot fear Pharaoh's sing. When I cannot feel melody, there's a secret place that's full of grace. There's a blessing in the storm. Tell me, singer, there's a blessing in the storm.
Some of y'all wouldn't pray if you didn't go through something. And when you go through something, that's when you meet Jesus. Can I get a witness of it? And listen, if you feel a sick in your mind and feel like giving up, listen.
When the sickness won't leave my body,
yes,
when the pain just won't leave my soul,
this is all you gotta do.
I get on my knees, say Jesus, please.
Hold on and call him.
There's a blessing in the storm.
I need a witness in
here. Help me sing it. There's a blessing in the storm.
Some of y'all have been in some bad relationships. Some of you have had your heart broken and you've been lied to. I want to let you know that there is a lover named Jesus. And he will supply your every need, family.
When I cannot see the love again.
Yes, sir.
And the raindrops fall. Heaven end.
But if you just hold on.
If you just hold on.
Please cry.
Those clouds will soon be gone.
Yes, sir.
There's a blessing in the storm.
Come on, somebody.
Help me sing it. There's a blessing in the storm.
Wait a minute.
over, but can we have a little church before the record is over? Listen, this is what I want to tell you. Listen. Go ahead and talk about it.